Heli-skiing companies are asking to open up more areas for use in this low snowfall season. And mailing a letter to your neighbor may take longer than you think. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The heli-skiing season kicked off this week in Haines. That's a helicopter for Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures on Thursday morning, taking off from the airport with clients to ski nearby slopes. And while the sunny weather may make the day seem perfect for skiing, the snow itself is not so ideal. That hasn't stopped skiers from booking trips to Haines. But because of low snowfall this winter and a warmer than usual January, there are fewer areas safe to ski this season, says Scott Sundberg of SEBA. He said clients so far during this first week of skiing are enjoying the slopes, but with limited areas with good conditions this year, virgin snow in skiable areas is getting used up quickly. That prompted SEBA to come up with an idea of how to maximize the snow that is here by proposing a month-long photo contest for ski visitors. To do that, the company is proposing opening areas to skiing currently off-limits to the companies. Sundberg had to file a request with the Haines Borough to hold the special ski competition event. In the request, he writes that Alaska has been getting bad press this year because of the dramatic loss of snowpack this season. In several areas open to skiing, the conditions are not safe to operate because of the snowpack. So, Sundberg is proposing opening up an additional 9,700 acres to heli-skiers, including areas around Kicking Horse, the Four Winds Mountains, across the Chilkat River near Pyramid Harbor, and in the mountains between the Sirkou and Taquini Rivers. Sundberg wants to open these areas between March 21st and April 21st for what he's calling the Make It Live competition. It's a photography contest for professional and recreational photographers, giving them a chance to ski and photograph skiing and snowboarding near Haines. Sundberg says this would entice more skiers here this winter when they may otherwise be deterred from coming due to conditions. The photos and videos that come out of the contest will also create a more positive impression of Haines for heli-skiing tourism, he writes. Sean Brownell of Alaska Heli-Skiing supports the idea. He writes to the borough that the lack of snowfall this year has reduced the company's choice of safe areas to operate. He writes the conditions have also resulted in overcrowding in the backcountry and created a competitive atmosphere for the available terrain that is left. He said by opening up more areas, veteran photographers and cinematographers will be more likely to come to Haines to see terrain they haven't been able to access before. The contest will also generate worldwide exposure for Haines in the skiing community, he said. Permission for special ski events is outlined in borough code. The request is first evaluated by the borough manager and then forwarded to the assembly for approval. Interim manager Julie Causey issued her recommendation Wednesday evening. She recognizes the marketing boost a photo contest could provide Haines and the interest it may generate. She recommends allowing the competition, but only in 3 of the 5 areas Sundberg requested. That's about 4,000 acres of the 9,700 Sundberg requests access to. She recommends not opening the area between the Sirkou and Taquini Rivers. She says those areas were provisionally approved by the assembly this year, but only if the Chilkat Indian Village approved, and they did not. Causey says to open those areas now, even temporarily, would not be appropriate without the village's approval. The recommendation now goes to the Commerce Committee and then before the full assembly for approval on March 11th. The Haines-Borough Assembly met Wednesday, not in an official meeting, but to discuss local priorities it wants to address in the next budget cycle. First and foremost, the group agreed fixing or replacing the wastewater treatment facility is the borough's number one priority. Assembly members discussed various ways to fund such a project, grants, loans, legislative appropriations, but they also agreed if the money isn't secured from any of those sources in the next year, they would be willing to tap into the borough's permanent fund earnings reserve to pay for it. Currently, the borough is pursuing loans or grants from the Department of Environmental Conservation, and the mayor has spoken to legislators about the need for a new facility. A new facility is currently designed to about 35%. The group struck a consensus that they want staff to move ahead with advancing that design to at least 65%. Also in the discussion, the assembly agreed the borough should do away with paying for a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. Brad Gilman has been the borough's lobbyist in D.C. for the past several years. But the assembly said the environment in D.C. currently isn't friendly to lobbyists, and having the mayor, staff, or assembly make personal visits might be better. Mayor Stephanie Scott said the borough can also lobby along with the Alaska Municipal League. It was also noted that this year, assistant to the manager, Darcy Colbeck, made several meetings in D.C. on the borough's behalf. That might have benefited the borough as much as a lobbyist. Interim manager Julie Causey also noted that it's equally important the borough lobby for its interests in Juneau. Another lengthy discussion centered on funding nonprofits. The assembly, in its budget process every year, gets funding requests from local nonprofits. Some requests are funded from specific funds, like the Emergency Services Fund. Others come from line items in the budget. Last year, the Assembly allocated a set amount of money to a community chest. Then, applications from nonprofits were reviewed, and money was awarded from the community chest based on those requests. The Assembly agreed to a similar funding system this year for nonprofits. Assemblymember George Campbell questioned whether the Assembly should be distributing any funds or taxpayer money to nonprofits. Causey mentioned there will likely be less money allocated to the community chest this year because of declining revenues. The group seemed to agree that nonprofits will likely take a hit this year when it comes to borough funding. The Assembly also discussed it wants to reduce the number of borough facilities, beginning with the Human Resources Building. It wants to evaluate the borough's top infrastructure needs and how to address major and deferred maintenance projects. The scuttlebutt around Haines this week is that local mail is having to travel a long ways to find its way into your neighbor's post office box. Fireman Al Badgley mailed 20 pieces of mail on Tuesday to Haines residents. They were invitations to this Saturday's appreciation dinner for spouses of first responders. He had handed out many of them in person, but had the 20 left to mail. He brought them into the post office and to the counter, not wanting to stuff the mailbox with nearly 24 pieces of mail, he said. But that was where Badgley, unbeknownst to him, went wrong. Instead of the invitations being sorted by local postal employees and placed in post office boxes just a few feet away, procedure calls for those letters to be sent to Juneau now for sorting and processing. Badgley says he was told this Thursday when he asked about the still yet undelivered invitations. Since local postal employees aren't allowed to comment to media, we asked U.S. Postal Service spokesman Ernie Swanson about the procedure. He wrote back to say the following. There is a slot in the Haines Post Office for local mail. Local mail deposited through that slot does not leave Haines. It is processed there and delivered locally. Local mail deposited elsewhere will likely go to Juneau for processing. The employees in the Haines Post Office are being reminded of this procedure so they can provide correct information to their customers. Swanson did not answer questions about why this was considered cost-effective or time-saving for the local post office employees and customers. Alaska's mayors and other local officials are worried their governments may be asked to pay more toward public employees' retirement. The Haines Assembly and the lobbying group Alaska Municipal League are backing Governor Sean Parnell's proposal to use $3 billion in savings to reduce an estimated $12 billion shortfall in state pension funds. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
Alaska communities and the state share the costs of the public employees' retirement system. Municipalities pay 22% of their payroll into PERS each year. Some also pay 12.5% into the teachers' retirement system. The state pays the rest of what's needed to cover pensions in a particular year. That amount is determined by actuaries and set annually by the Alaska Retirement Management Board. Kathy Wasserman is executive director of the Alaska Municipal League.
Certainly, it's a good enough chunk that municipalities cannot afford for that to go up.
If nothing is done to address the PERS shortfall, Wasserman fears the local contribution could increase to 40% of payroll. She says the governor's plan to transfer $3 billion from the Constitutional Budget Reserve to the retirement system would maintain the rate at 22% until the funds are solvent, whenever that might be.
We really can't define how many years because it's based on interest rates, based on the market, it's based on, you know, baby boomers, when people die. There's a lot of variability in that. But 22% right now we can plan for.
Kodiak Mayor Pat Branson says local communities need predictability.
we keep it at those percentages, we're not going to be able to do business and keep our infrastructure in place, keep police and fire operating, schools open, that kind of thing.
The Parnell administration estimates its proposal would reduce the state's annual payment to PERS and TERS. Without the cash infusion, the governor's office says the state would soon pay more than $1 billion a year toward the pension shortfall. Deputy Administration Commissioner Mike Barnhill told the Alaska Municipal League that doing nothing is not appealing.
If the governor's approach doesn't pass, the status quo will persist. We will continue to make actuarially required contributions, however they're calculated.
The governor's plan is part of his proposed operating budget. Many states and communities in the lower 48 have faced even bigger pension problems, leading to bankruptcies and cuts to retirement payments. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
The Haines Assembly passed a resolution in January supporting Parnell's proposal. The resolution had been delayed because most members on the Assembly have state retirement or have family members that receive state retirement. Some members were concerned showing support for the resolution could be seen as a conflict of interest, but Mayor Stephanie Scott said it was not. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Casey Kelly for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.